death slipped into Courland with the thick fog that boiled in from the Baltic. The raiding party had been too long at sea and too long without seizing a proper treasure. This morning, under the storm gathering over them, they hoped to change their luck. The chieftain, Skogul, called Ironhand, led the way. A large man, well over 6 feet in height, he was massively muscled from a life spent working hardscrabble earth. His dirty blonde beard, rimed with sea salt, hung down to the middle of his chest. Tiny figurines carved of wood, stone, and ivory hung in his beard and long hair. The reindeer hide he'd added to his tunic to ward off blows and arrows was cracked with age, but still supple and serviceable beneath the thick bearskin cloak. A metal helmet covered his head. He carried a long-handled war axe in his right hand. His left hand was gone, replaced by a cruelly curved iron hook. 16 years earlier, he'd lost the hand in a battle with an opposing tribe. His father had been a blacksmith when he hadn't gone raiding. Together, they'd fitted Skogul with the weapon. Senses tingling, Skogul trotted through the ice-cold, ankle-deep tidewaters. His longship was nearly flat-bottomed and could be sailed or rowed in only inches of water. In his years spent raiding, he'd taken his vessel across oceans as well as up rivers. His heart beat quickly, warming him against the touch of early winter and the coming storm. The raiding season was almost over, and if they didn't take a prize soon, there would be little to show for their efforts when they returned home before winter settled. Ahead of them, the village sat quiet and still, frosted by the light snow that had come during the night. Most of the houses were wooden one-room affairs, much like longhouses in Skogul's village. Judging by the smoke from a few cook fires curling into the pink-hued sky, only a few people were up. He was gambling everything he had on this effort. Only a few weeks earlier, a band of Finns had attacked them at camp and stolen away with all their goods. They'd lost everything they'd spent months stealing. Skogul would not return home empty-handed with so many mouths to feed, nor would he see his young crewmen return without bride price.
Archers!
20 warriors knocked arrows to their longbows.
There.
Skogul waved toward the forested low hills ringing the north side of the village. The land and the trees provided a windbreak against the freezing north winds, which was probably why the village had been built there. The warriors moved at once to take up their positions along the hills. No one in the village seemed to notice. Standing, Skogul hefted his war axe. The storm winds pulled at his beard and hair. He ignored the cold and moved forward. If things went well, the villagers would take one look at them and surrender everything they had. Dogs began to run out, challenging the invaders. Their sharp teeth flashed and snapped. Skogul swung his axe, cleaving the skull of one dog and killing it instantly. Some of the other dogs seemed to understand and moved away from the warriors. Something was wrong. The feeling coiled and twisted through Skogul's belly. He held up his axe, calling his warriors to a halt. The Norsemen stopped, forming a ragged line. No one peered from the windows of the huts or came to the doors. Skogul pointed at his men.
You three, check the homes.
Immediately, the warriors ran to the nearest hut. They broke down the door with their axes. One of them went inside and returned almost immediately.
No one's inside.
Check them all, then.
As men went to do so, he strode angrily to the center of the village. He scowled, knowing that the spying they'd done the night before hadn't gone unnoticed.
Norseman!
Spinning, lifting his war axe, Skogul peered to the east and spotted a man standing almost hidden among the branches of a tall spruce tree. He wore reindeer hide in much the same fashion as the Norsemen, but stood empty-handed. His skin was too light to be one of the Coronians, but Skogul knew they were in Courland. The man's beard was fiery red.
I am Skogul!
I've heard of you, Ironhand.
Who are you?
Your death, if it comes to that.
Fury seized Skogul. For 2 weeks, the frustration he'd felt at the loss of his cargo to the Finns had festered inside him. To be addressed like this in front of his warriors was intolerable.
Brave words from a man hiding behind a tree.
I didn't have to show myself to you at all. I could have put an arrow through your eye. Go to the well and draw the bucket. We've left tribute for you.
Skoggle walked over to the well, then nodded to his closest warrior. He'd expected a trick, but the bucket was filled to the brim with chunks of amber. The material was valuable and could be used in trade in the Arab lands, as well as with the Franks, Saxons, and Celts. Fishermen along the coasts of the North and Baltic seas dredged amber from the seafloor. Skoggle didn't know why the amber was only found there, but knew its rarity made it more valuable.
That bucket contains a fortune! Accept it and walk away! That way neither side has to lose a life today!
Skoggle gestured. His warrior poured the contents of the bucket into a bag.
You have more than this!
Not for you! I won't let you strip these people of everything!
These people? So you're not even a Coronian?
No! I was born not far from where you were, but I'm raising my children here. My home is here.
Well then, as a fellow countryman, I'll give you a proper funeral.
I'll extend you the same offer.
Skoggle raised his hooked arm into the air, signaling to the archers. The man quickly rounded the bole of the tree, disappearing from sight. The branches deflected most of the arrows, but some of them pierced branches and the tree trunk. Almost immediately, a volley of arrows erupted from the brush, arcing high, then descending on the warriors gathered at the center of the village.
Shields!
Skoggle threw himself to cover next to the well, and the rest of the Norsemen reacted quickly, hauling their wooden shields overhead. Eight of Skoggle's warriors went down under the onslaught. Standing immediately, Skoggle grabbed a shield from the nearest dead man and pulled it into place over his head.
Move, you curs! Take the fight to them!
His hooked hand led the way, pounding toward the huts, slipping through them as more arrows rained death from the sky. He reached the tree line. The Norsemen ran at his sides as they had always done, axes, hammers, and swords raised. Skoggle ran for the tree, not expecting to find the man there, but hoping to catch some sight of him before he was able to escape. Carrying the shield through the heavy brush slowed him only a little. They climbed a hill, mostly out of sight of the opposing archers, and surged through the forest. Skoggle glimpsed the red-bearded man running swiftly through the forest on the other side of a narrow clearing.
I see him! There!
Skoggle surged in pursuit. No longer in the lead because some of the younger men were faster these days, but all of them knew not to range too far ahead so they could be cut into smaller groups.
Form a line! Stay together!
On the other side of the clearing, the red-bearded man turned and drew a short-hafted warhammer from his back. He stood his ground, glowering at the approaching Norsemen. A few of Skoggle's archers loosed shafts that bit into the dirt at the man's boots, tangled in his fur cloak and hit the trees around him. One of the arrows pierced his thigh. Without looking down, the man snapped off the end of the arrow and pulled the other half through his leg. He kept his eyes on the Norseman.
Strike now!
A bolt of lightning blazed through the sky and reached down for the hammer in the red-bearded man's hands. Yellow flashed on its head, revealing that it had been inlaid with amber on the sides of the head and the haft. It looked as if the weapon had been forged of pure electricity. Suddenly, a blast of heated air washed over Skoggle. When he opened his eyes again, he saw a tree near the red-bearded man topple sideways, trailing smoke. All the stories about Thor, the Norse god of thunder, who controlled storms and lightning, rushed through Skoggle's mind. He knew the gods sometimes journeyed from Asgard across the Rainbow Bridge to Midgard, the human world. This is no god, Skoggle told himself. God would never have retreated or relied on ambushes. For Skoggle saw that an ambush was what they had run into as shadows shifted in the forest on both sides of the red-bearded man. Skoggle pulled up sharply. He opened his mouth to shout a warning, but before he could say a word, a withering hail of arrows from the Coronians drove him to cover. Two of the Norsemen went down with arrows piercing them, but the others never broke stride, knowing that they would reach the archers before they had the chance to fire again. Suddenly, as they raced across the clearing, the ground gave way beneath their feet. In disbelief, Skoggle watched his men disappear as if the earth had opened up and swallowed them whole. Less than 20 of the Norsemen pulled back from the edges of the pit, which had been covered with branches and dead grass so that it blended with the landscape. The trap hadn't been prepared overnight after someone had seen the Norse ship out on the sea. The Coronians had been prepared for an invasion for some time.
Redbeard.
A Norse warrior crawled up from the pit. With the rain falling, the earth had turned to greasy black mud. The man was stained with the dark muck and blood. Three thin stakes pierced his body. The bottom of the pit had been lined with them. A single arrow flew across the distance and struck the Norseman in the face. The warrior stumbled, falling to his knees. The arrow protruded from one of the eye slits in his helm. He reached for the arrow jutting from his face, then rolled over and vanished once more into the pit. The Curonians burst from the trees at the remaining Norsemen. Their bowmen fired arrows over their heads that struck three of the surviving warriors.
Back to the ship! Back to the ship!
As undermanned as they were, Skoggle didn't know if they would be successful in getting away. He ran, struggling through the brush. Redbeard and the Coronians pursued, but they were temporarily slowed by the pit they'd built for defense. Occasional arrows slipped through the forest. Skoggle never slowed, but he could feel the thuds of heavy footsteps closing in on him and knew who it was. Throwing a foot out in the slippery sand of the beach, Skoggle slid forward and managed to twist his body at the same time. He brought the war axe around in a flat arc aimed at Redbeard's midsection. The amber hammer blocked the axe. Surprised and more wary, Skoggle stepped back and raised his axe in a defensive stance. From the corner of his eye, he watched as Coronian bowmen put shafts into the backs of his men who'd made it to the sea, and they fell into the shallow water. Several of the Coronians surrounded Skoggle. They had arrows knocked back to their ears. At that range, they couldn't miss. Redbeard looked down at his blood-stained adversary and raised his hand. His men held their fire. Skoggle was afraid, but his pride wouldn't let him admit that. He'd always believed he would die in battle, not like a deer run to the ground by hunters.
I've told them they can't kill you, unless I say so.
You'd better get on with it and kill me then.
I would prefer not to if I didn't have to. We've already caused the death of too many of our brethren.
We?
You chose to be greedy.
And those men aren't your brethren.
I've not always lived among the Coronians.
Where do you hail from?
Burka Island, in Lake Malar.
I've been there. I come from Jorvik.
I could demand payment from your family for your return.
They won't accept a demand from someone who's been banished.
I wasn't banished! From my homeland, I was a Jarl.
Skoggle could tell that Redbeard was telling the truth, but there was no way he was willing to be ransomed back to his village. He wouldn't accept anything less than going back as a champion. Taking advantage of the lull, he threw himself at Redbeard. Redbeard knocked Skoggle's axe from his hand, but Skoggle had anticipated this maneuver. He kept rushing forward, planting his shoulder in his opponent's chest and knocking him back. Before Redbeard could recover, two of the Coronian archers loosed their shafts. Skoggle felt the arrows bite into his flesh at his back and side, but he knew from past experience that neither wound would prove fatal. He had suffered worse in his day. Wrapping his hand around Redbeard's face from behind, Skoggle melded his body to that of his opponent and lifted his hook, reaching around in an effort to tear out the man's throat. Redbeard lifted the amber hammer, and an image of Thor's enchanted hammer shot through Skoggle's head. It had been crafted by the Black Elves on orders from Loki, his half-brother. The hammer was the most powerful weapon the Norse gods wielded. Skoggle saw a tongue of lightning reach down from the dark sky and touch his hook. On his back in the wet sand, Skoggle tried to rise but couldn't. When he looked down, he saw that the lightning had blown off both his legs. Blood gushed from the stumps and was washed away by the rushing tide. Redbeard came to him then, sorrow showing on his face.
It didn't have to be this way.
Skoggle focused on the amber hammer. As he lay dying, he waited to see if the Valkyries would arrive to take him to Valhalla. After all, he died a brave death. But he feared they might not, because his death hadn't been a wise one. Only a fool would try to kill a god.
Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 7. God of Thunder. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Michael Glenn, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, James Lewis, Sonny Lasky, Jeff Baker, Michael Raplogle, Thomas Penny, Christopher Graybill, Chris Rowan, Nathaniel Perry, and Mort Shelby.